Please turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5. So thankful for the sovereignty of God and how even that song is a perfect lead-in to the text of our day, that only Jesus and his work on the cross can help us. He is our only hope. And we need his help. And we must rely on his hope. Why? Because we do wander away. Our hearts are prone to wander. And we do need to continually be restored. We are not a perfect people. We fall short day in and day out. And only our Savior, Jesus Christ, can meet us where we need. And so we have problems in life. We just do, okay? I think everyone would agree with me this morning that we have problems. We are not perfect. We mess up regularly. Our lives, we have great intentions, but then many times the reality does not live up to what our mind and hearts desire. And so when there are problems, we have to handle them. Sometimes we handle them well, and sometimes we don't handle them very well. And we have a passage of Scripture here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that helps us understand how to handle problems. Within the church, this whole book refers to life in the local church, and when you have a bunch of people together, we're going to have problems. And we do have problems here at Calvary. Things look really good on the outside. People get all dressed up on Sunday, and we come in, and we look great, and sometimes our conversation is on a surface level, so we feel like everything's great, but the reality is that it's not always great. Many times our hearts are full of discouragement. Sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes it's the lack of forgiveness. When we feel like other people have hurt us or wronged us, there are problems in our lives. There are problems in every church. And our only hope is Jesus Christ. The truth that God has given us tells us how we should handle problems. That's our goal. That's what we should be aiming for, right? That's our desire, to listen to the truth and then apply it. Reality many times is something different. Even in my own life, I feel like I'm in one of the worst seasons of my life. There were times in my life where I felt like I was really on top of things spiritually, and I was doing really great at certain things. And then, you know, in the last few years, I feel like, you know, things have gone the opposite direction. And so I don't stand up here today saying, you know what, follow my example. I wish I could say that. But I want you to follow the truth. We have the truth, and we must keep looking to the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity." This morning, we look at the idea of church family matters. We have things that happen in life in the church family. The Scripture describes the church as a family. It gives it that illustration. And so we have to believe that church family actually matters. It matters to God how we handle things. And this is a text that helps us really walk through difficult situations in a local church when problems come up. And a church family must be committed to loving each other. We must be a place that looks different than any other social organization that you can find in our culture today. People meet and they come together for connections all over the place. Read an article this week about people who have left the religious faith, but yet they feel like there's a void in their life. And so over the last couple decades, there's been an increase of people who would call themselves atheistic. They would believe that there is no God, but they understand the idea of what Christianity developed of, as far as needing each other. And so you would have what they wouldn't call them congregations, but they would have meeting places on a regular day of the week where people would come together under the guise of we don't believe in God, but they would come together and they would share life and try to strive together. Why? Because there is something in all of us, how God has created us to be in community. And so when we think of the local church, God has established this. This is a gift. This is a blessing. And we must follow his direction on how to handle it, because sometimes it just does not go as planned. Not everyone is picture perfect. And sometimes people make mistakes, and then they make more mistakes, and then they keep making mistakes, and they start to turn their back away from God. And so the church should rally together, should come together during those moments, come around that person and direct them in a loving way to think about truth, meditate on truth, and align their life with truth. So Paul says, when these kinds of situations happen, you must handle it. You can't just sweep things under the rug. You have to deal with problems. So it's sometimes very, very hard, but it is very, very important. So the big idea of the message this morning is confrontation should be done. Confrontation should be done, but it should be done in love. Because there are problems, because we are sinners, because we don't always live up to the expectations that we have on each other, there are moments when we must deal with situations. Now, people say, in fact, I even heard it this week. I can't remember where the conversation was, but someone literally said, I'm not really someone who's very good at confrontation. I kind of shy away from him. I'm not good with confrontation at all. And as I was listening to that person, I was thinking about my message. I was like, you know what? That's really not an option for a believer. And so you may think that excuse, because of your personality or how you're made as far as your, you know, the way you handle life and how you've experienced life, you may say, well, that I'm good to go because that's just me. I'm not a confrontational person. It's the wrong excuse. And I put that under an excuse category. Because you can't read a text of scripture like this, and there are many others, and come to the conclusion that you just don't have to confront things. I think in every area of life, there are times when we have to confront problems. You think of the amount of time that happens within a literal family, and the amount of confrontation that has to happen, because you've got all these sinners living under one roof, and because everyone's sinning, there's a lot of problems and a lot of heartache. And so confrontation has to happen. I think confrontation should happen between a married couple. Sometimes people would say, oh, you know, the wife should never say anything. I don't agree with that at all. The scripture says that we mutually submit to one another. So I think confrontation done right should happen within a marriage relationship. I think it should be happening with parents and children, extended family. But then you take that outside of the home, the literal home, and you move it to other areas of life. When there are problems, you go after them. You confront them. You deal with them. And especially in a local church. Why? Because if problems are not dealt with in a local assembly, then the situation can get worse and worse. And many times, people just end up getting mad and they leave because of bad relationships. Or even worse than that, church splits happen. And I could give you illustration after illustration. Problems must be dealt with, but there's a very clear way on how those problems should be handled. So let's look in the text. It says, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but appeal to him as a father. Now, we cannot conclude from this text that we should not deal with problems. You wouldn't want to read this. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, which means you wouldn't want to take away the fact that you never say anything to an older gentleman. because that would actually contradict other parts of Scripture. And Scripture can never contradict itself. In fact, even in 1 Timothy, Paul has told Timothy to confront, in chapter 1 and verse 3, the false teachers. In other places, 2 Timothy, it says, correct those who are in opposition. Proverbs 25, verse 5, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. And it continues in verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. So Scripture throughout tells us that as God's people, we should be speaking into each other's lives, dealing with problems. That should be happening no matter the age, no matter if you're younger than a person, no matter if you're older than a person, problems must be dealt with. It's how we handle those problems. And this term, rebuke here, really refers to the idea of a severe verbal pounding. To smite with words. So you have a sinning brother, and then you have another brother that comes along to deal with the sin, and the way that brother that's come alongside, he deals with the sin, is to hammer the guy, to sharply rebuke him. And that's been done. Maybe it's been done to you. But sometimes in churches, we're real easy to see the sin in other people's lives, and we actually end up sinning in the process of identifying the sins in other people's lives because of the way that we do it. Scripture here is telling us that that kind of confrontation should not be taking place within the local church. A sharp rebuke where someone would be pounded on with their words because of the situation or the problem that they are facing in their lives or the struggle that they are having. Now, how should we handle it then? It says, but rather appeal to him as a father. So the Scripture is very clear for us that we must deal with the problems. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, and anyone literally means anyone, whether you have an older man, an older woman, a younger man, or a younger woman. It doesn't clarify. It just says, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. But restore them in the spirit of gentleness. And that complements what Paul is telling Timothy here. Do not sharply rebuke someone who is in your assembly, especially not someone who is older than you are. However, we must still confront problems. Someone could be 18 or someone could be 88. And if they are caught in a trespass and sin, as God's people, we should deal with that and not be afraid to deal with that. And sometimes we think, oh, well, on what grounds do we have? I'm not a perfect person. I'm not. You don't have to be a perfect person. It says you who are spiritual, and that simply means you who are walking in the Spirit. You're the person who is striving to obey the Lord, and you're trying, not perfect, but you're walking along the journey as best you know in trying to follow and honor the Lord. So you who are spiritual, you who are walking in spirit, come alongside and in the spirit of gentleness, restore the person, really reach into their life and try to bring them back to a place of truth and what God has for them in their specific struggle of life. And we do that based on authority. Titus 2:15, it says there, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. You say, what gives anyone the right to speak into my life? Well, the Word of God. That's the authority. So we come alongside and we do what this text says. It says, but rather appeal to him. What does it mean to appeal? It means to exhort. It means to come alongside of someone and help them, to encourage, to admonish, to entreat. These are all ways that we can look at this idea of speaking truth into one another's life. So the issue has to be dealt with. No matter the age, no matter the person, we must deal with problems. How we deal with them depends and really makes or break the entire situation. And so we have to constantly look at the way that we approach these things and do them with a spirit of kindness. Now, Paul gives four categories here, and it really describes the church as a family and the way we should handle things. So I would say, number one, treat an older man like a father. He says, but appeal to him as a father. So the first category in which we deal with problems is when we come alongside, there's a way for a son to speak to his father. My father's 89 years old, and I talked to him on the phone this week, and I talked to him about something that I was nervous about, something he was getting involved in. I thought he was kind of being misguided and maybe taken advantage of, and so I wanted to for him to understand the urgency, but I didn't want it to like hammer him, like, what are you thinking? How'd you get involved in this? This is craziness. So I appealed to him with the information that I had been given, and I encouraged him to really think about this and maybe choose another path. So we need to, when we deal with folks who are in an older age, we need to be very, very careful. And this matches the scripture from start to finish. In Leviticus 19:32, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. And you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. This is from the beginning when God was giving his instruction how God's people were supposed to relate to one another. He elevated those who are in the older category. And he said that they should be honored and they should be cared for. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. That is one of the most graphic verses in the scripture. I'm sorry, young people, who you're like, what is going on right now? But that's literally how God describes a young person and how they should talk and appeal to their parents. That there should be no mocking. There should be no scorning of dad or mom. And because God established an authority process, and the position should be respected. So treat an older man like a father. Now, we must go back to what I said a moment ago. It doesn't mean you don't deal with problems in older men. Sometimes, and I feel like I'm getting that way, the older I get, the more stubborn I'm getting. And sometimes, guys, I'm just speaking truth to you. Sometimes it's hard to say that we're wrong. And sometimes as we get older, we're like, no, my way or the highway. My kids will tell you, I really struggle with that. So it's not like no one can ever speak into our lives. We want people to speak into our lives, but there's a way that that should be done because of the position. Because of the age and the life experience that has happened, we still speak. Absolutely. But we do with care and kindness. Verse 2, it says, to younger men as brothers. The end of chapter 5 and verse 1. To younger men as brothers. So the second way that we want to confront and deal with people who maybe are younger than us or even maybe our same age is to treat them like a brother. And the scripture is very clear about how that should be. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. So there should be within the church of God, the family of God, this camaraderie, this relationship where people love each other. And as we go to deal with problems, we should really be thinking about those this kind of perspective along those lines. Leviticus 19:17. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. So you cannot hold hatred in your heart towards anyone. You cannot just stew on problems and let bitterness develop. You can reprove a neighbor or a brother, so that the problems don't get greater and greater. Again, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. But it's in this familiar relationship of, you know what, we are connected. God is our Father. He has placed us into our church family. He has adopted us into His family. We are His sons. We are His daughters. And we are going to treat each other with that perspective. So we still speak, but we do it in the proper way. As well, we treat older women like a mother. Now, verse 2, the older women as mothers. This category, again, just very clear, helpful instruction on how to view people who are in a different age group and how to handle problems. Reminder, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, honor your father and your mother. There should be the respect there, and that's what it is. It's a matter of respect that no matter the age, there should be an honoring or respecting of the position that the mother or the father hold. Romans 16, 13, greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. It's interesting that Paul describes Rufus, this probably co-laborer or brother in the church, and he says, greet his mother and mine. There is a perspective of being the younger person, so there's a familiar kind of perspective that those who would be in the older woman category, you should view as you would a mom. In fact, I was on the phone with my wife this week, and I had spent some time with one of the couples in our church visiting at the hospital, and on the way home, I was talking to her, just explaining about the situation. I said, she reminds me so much of my mom. And that's how it should be. There should be this revering or respect towards the ladies in our church. Doesn't mean we don't handle problems. And ladies, yes, someone needs to sometimes come along you and speak into your life, just like people need to speak in all of our lives. You're not exempt from it just because you have lived longer than other people. You still need the scripture to be really spoken into your life where potentially there are blind spots. But we do it in a way that pleases the Lord. And the last category there is younger women. And the younger women as sisters. And there's a little phrase there, in all purity. And this really helps us just make sure the emphasis where everything's always appropriate and right between the relationship of those who would maybe be in the opposite sex with a younger girl specifically, or maybe even a younger male, where you always keep things honoring the Lord and appropriate, and there's ways to do that, but you look at people as if they're your sister. How would you want your sister to be treated? And so we have to be very, very careful that when we come alongside people, that we don't sharply rebuke them. Sometimes it's really difficult for a young person to listen to an older person when they come alongside and try to encourage them, because their words aren't really full of grace. Their words are more of judgment. Like, you shouldn't be acting like that, or you shouldn't be doing this. Or instead of coming alongside and in the spirit of gentleness, working and helping other people. So confrontation should be done, but it should be done in love. And I want to just kind of, as we close here this morning, I want us to just understand that this is something that we may get wrong from time to time. I feel like as a father, I'm getting this wrong all the time right now. I feel like I can talk about in my mind, I'm gonna maybe speak to my kids about something, and I'm gonna try to do it with grace and love, and then in the moment, it just all goes south. And then I walk away feeling like a failure. So it doesn't always go as you plan, but it doesn't mean you stop doing it. It means you keep looking to the Lord to help you do it well. And in a church, you may say, you know what, I've done this from time to time and it did not go well. It doesn't give you an excuse to stop doing it. You must, based on the authority of Scripture and striving to walk in the Spirit, keep honoring the Lord by obeying him in this way. I just want to give you a quick acrostic and then I'll close just for you to help. Maybe this would be helpful for you. It's not original. I was taught this years ago, but some things to consider before you go to confront. I would say with the word encourage, this may be helpful for you. I would say number one, examine your heart. Examine your heart. Confrontation should always begin with you. We must always understand the fact that nobody's perfect. We all struggle. So we don't come with judgment in our hearts. We come with a perspective of love, trying to help someone be restored. And so we examine our hearts. Perhaps maybe it was a struggle that we once had. And so you can identify it with it that way. God, thank you for the grace you've given in my life. Help me to come alongside and help someone see the grace that is available in their life. Number two, I would say, know your calling. What does that mean? Well, I think this is, as I mentioned, every single person, no matter your personality, no matter how you feel about it, should be willing to confront when the time is appropriate and the need is there. If anyone's caught in a trespass, we need to be willing as Christians to understand that it is our responsibility and God can use us in a great way to come alongside and speak to people, speak truth into people's lives. We should not just ignore problems, you know, in folks' lives where you just see them and you see them struggle and, someone will also come alongside and help them. No, be the person to come alongside and help. Don't neglect your responsibility as a brother or sister in Christ. I would say, check your attitude. What should our attitude be like? Our attitude should be full of kindness and humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, forbearance, compassion, love. That should be how we speak to people. And that really is just the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. If we fail to do it in this way, many times we can do more damage. And if our attitude is critical when we confront, many times the person will just, it'll bounce right off them. They won't even listen. In fact, they'll probably get more bitter and more discouraged than they were before. So the process is very important that we check our attitude before we go. I would say it's important to own your own fault. Perhaps there was you're part of the problem. So there's an opportunity for confession or something to say, well, you know, I struggle with this as well. You know, the scripture tells us to confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. Don't talk from above people. Talk from side to side, coming along. No one enjoys someone talking down to them. Come alongside. Own your own fault. Use words wisely. Use words wisely. The scripture tells us all kinds of encouragement along these lines. Proverbs 12, reckless words pierce like a sword, but a tongue of the wise, it brings healing. So say what you have to say. Don't neglect that. But say it in a way that the hearer will actually receive it, and the Spirit of God could work and actually bring that restoration to the surface. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So use your words wisely. I would say it's important in a confrontation to reflect on Scripture. Speak truth, right? That's what we're supposed to be speaking. So remind the person, hey, this is what I see in your life. I see you struggling in this area. You're really not honoring the Lord in what you're doing here. How does that look like from a biblical perspective? And show them from the Scripture what is right. Speak truth. Let the Bible be that edification tool through your words. Always be prepared to listen. You know, sometimes we can get it wrong. Sometimes we have a wrong perspective. And so in our confrontation, there should be a willingness to say, okay, let me hear from your perspective. Let me hear your side. If we have come with our own conclusions, but maybe sometimes we've gotten it wrong, it's important in this confrontation process to ask questions. Does this make sense? Am I off base here? Is this something that you would agree with? Questions that really help bring out communication and be willing to listen. Give the opportunity for a person to talk and respond. Remember, you've had time to think about all this and really go over it in your mind, and this person is probably being caught off guard. So be very, very careful that you allow them to process and articulate. And that's the next thing. Grant time for response. Grant time for response. Let the Holy Spirit work. There's nothing in the scripture that promises that a person will come immediately, confess, and make it right. So let the Spirit work. Change is a process. One of my favorite verses in dealing with ministry to other people is 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. So there's times when people are just out of control and you've got to come alongside and you have to admonish. Encourage the faint-hearted. Sometimes people are discouraged and they really need help. Just an encouraging word, like keep going, you can do it. Sometimes it's helping the weak, the morally weak. Like, you literally have to help them stand. They're so in need at that moment. So there's different stages where we speak truth into people's lives. But the last part of that verse is, and be patient with all men. And that's the part where many times we want immediate response. I don't know if you can relate, but as a father, I want to see immediate response in my children. I want to see them acknowledge what I've just pointed out and repent of it and turn from it. I don't do that in my own life when God does that with my sin. I want to, but I don't always do that. So sometimes we have to grant time for response. And the last thing I would say is encourage the person with the gospel. How does that apply? Well, the gospel reminds us that we're freed from our sin. And so we speak gospel truth to people. When we come alongside, whether it's an older man or an older woman or a younger man or a younger woman, we speak truth into their lives through the lens of the gospel. Hey, you can change. There's hope. Jesus involved. His wounds can actually restore you, as the song was sung. So the gospel can be real in your life. You can change. You're no longer bound by your sin. Romans 2:4 tells us that the kindness of the Lord leads people to repentance. And so, yes, there are problems all around us. There are problems that come up within a church, but there is an appropriate way to handle it. Sharply rebuking people is not an option. What we should be doing is encouraging, coming and appealing, directing people to truth, speaking into their lives with care and with love. Sometimes we need to put our clubs down and come alongside with grace. And I'm chief sinner. But God's truth is for us, and it's applicable for every single one of us. So you may say, it's not my personality. Doesn't have to be. What you need to be doing is walking in the Spirit and taking advantage of those times when God brings people across your path to speak into their lives, to potentially be an instrument in God's hand to restore. And in a healthy church, when problems happen, that's the culture. And when things are dealt with, they're let go. We forgive and we move on. We don't hold grudges. We give out the forgiveness and mercy that God has shown to us. As we close, would you just stand with me and take a moment of time for evaluation? As you do so, would you think of that maybe one person in your life, that one relationship, or that one problem area? Maybe it's at work, maybe it's in your home, maybe it's here in the church. Think of that one area where it's just not right. Sin has happened. It's just not right. How are you responding to it? Are you ignoring it? Are you sweeping it under the rug? Or are you following the scriptural pattern to deal with that? As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Not everyone responds to confrontation well. But as much as it depends on you, whatever that situation is in your heart, in your life personally, would you just ask the Lord for help to handle it correctly? Would you look to Jesus for his restoration and his healing? He can help us. God, we're a broken people. We're really, really messy. We mess up our relationships, sometimes the closest ones to us. We mess up opportunities to help others. We so many times get caught up in the wrong thinking where we're critical of others and we judge them in our hearts and we condemn them. God, you have provided a way for us to handle the brokenness in our own lives and in this world. And God, as much as it depends on us, I pray that we be faithful and do our part. We can't control everything, but we can control what we do in these situations. So I pray that we would be faithful as a family. We'd be faithful to handle our problems in a way that pleases you. God, help us to rely upon your grace and strength to do this. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Let's